And thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Glory be to God. What an opportunity, precious opportunity. Another one that the Lord has given to us tonight to be able to come together around His Word. And I thank you, wherever you are joining us from, and on whatever platform. It is such a privilege, and it's a privilege that we must never take for granted this opportunity to be able to always come around the Word of God, to study, to learn, and to receive from Him. I thank you. I'm going to make a major change going forward. I know I kind of started that last week. We cut last week's service a bit shorter than usual, but going forward, it's going to be even shorter. As I'm led by the Lord, my desire is to have these Bible studies on the Holy Spirit much shorter than usual. So keep them somewhere around 35 and 45 minutes, most likely somewhere around 40 minutes, really, most evenings. There's so much, they're so deep. The things of the Holy Spirit are not abstract, but they're just not that widely known, and they're not widely studied, unfortunately. He is the most important person in the universe. And our knowledge of Him and our walk with Him is the most consequential step we can take in order to be able to live a successful life in every realm, in every area of our lives. But unfortunately, we just don't talk as much about Him as we should. And so there is a tendency that we can hit patches where some of the things we're learning and some of the things we're studying may either be too familiar or just not familiar at all, and can make us tune out rather than be engrossed in the study. And I would like to give some time after we finish each study to people. If we close out and we're off air and you would like to go back in the Word of God and pull out your study, your concordances, your chain references and things, and do your own personal study for about another 20, 30 minutes, that's great if you are interested in doing that. But I'm led by the Lord to keep these studies shorter than usual. So somewhere around 40 minutes every night. I hope you are excited about that. I really am, and I can hardly wait to dive in to what the Lord has for us again tonight. Glory be to God. So let's share a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are. We've come before you again tonight to partake of the bread of life, to receive, to study around the Word of God concerning the Holy Spirit. You led us, precious Holy Spirit, you led us into this series of lessons, and we're excited about it. We're looking forward to become more and more acquainted with you, to know you more, and to continue to take steps to deepen our relationship and our understanding of you. In the name of Jesus, we trust you to help us tonight. Grant us revelation and understanding. Grant me grace to speak with accuracy, with boldness, and grant us all understanding hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight, and I welcome you. So, because I want to keep it slightly shorter, I'm going to refrain from doing elaborate reviews like we sometimes do during our Bible studies, these times of ministry in the Word of God that we have every Wednesday. So I trust God, if you're just joining us, At any point as we go along, if you are interested, please go back and give yourself some foundation. But I am going to do very little of review from the previous weeks, and I'm just going to dive into whatever materials we have for each Wednesday, for each service that we have. And we are calling this Everything Holy Spirit. Everything Holy Spirit. It is so important that we become more and more intimately acquainted with this person, the most important person in the universe, the Holy Spirit, the one who is responsible, is instrumental in orchestrating every aspect of our spiritual lives. And if you are a good student of the Word of God, then you already know that everything in our lives begins from the spiritual. The spiritual is really fundamental, is foundational to everything that happens to us in the natural. So if we sharpen our understanding and our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we will, it's guaranteed, that we are bound to succeed in every area of our lives. We will succeed spiritually, we will succeed emotionally, we'll succeed in our relationships, we'll succeed in our families, we'll succeed in our careers, our businesses, our ministries, and different things that we do. Our finances will thrive because the Lord will lead us. We'll learn to work more and more closely with Him, and that will enhance success in every area of our life. So tonight we're going to dive in. Last week we were in John chapter 3, that's last week and the previous week when we started this series of lessons. And tonight we're going to John 14. And what are we doing? We're visiting in the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of John, some of the most important things that the Lord Jesus Christ said about the Holy Spirit when He was on earth. That's really the basis of our studies in this section of these lessons that we're doing. So tonight, go with me, please, to John chapter 14. And we're going to be reading from verse 15. I'm going to go a little slowly and just, you know, go with me. If you have your Bibles, please pull them out. Let's read together. If you're reading using your devices, your iPhones, iPads, or your Android tablets, whatever it is you're using, your laptop, computers, whatever, please make sure that your eyes are on these scriptures and let's get in the Word of God together. Amen. John chapter 14, and I'm reading from verse 15 to 9. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever." Let me read verse 16 again. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever." Glory to God, glory to God. John 14, 16 is really like that's the crux of this entire scripture right here. And that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time tonight for sure, piecing it apart and delving and digging into the deep revelatory nuggets that are in that particular verse of scripture. But we're also going to read. We're going to read all the way down to we're going to go to verse 27, and I'm going to read some from the King James. I'm going to read some from the Amplified. But then I'm going to have us really come back and really dig very strongly in verse 16. And that's where we'll get some of the things that we're discussing tonight, the principles, the points, the revelatory nuggets. That's where we're going to get them from. Read that verse 16 again with me one more time. This is John chapter 14 and verse 16. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. the letters are in red, if you have a Bible like mine, the King James, it says here, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That is the Holy Spirit he's talking about. Let's read that from the Amplified Version. It says there in the Amplified, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. And then he puts in parenthesis, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. And we know, generally speaking, if you have been a part of studies about the Holy Spirit, scriptures like this, you know, generally we say the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have in verse 16 of Acts chapter 14 in the Amplified Version. Yeah, that is so true. But that's actually a limited way of expressing that truth. That's really a partial truth. It's not the whole truth. The Holy Spirit has more than seven ministries. But what the Amplified Version has done for us is it's broken down the term that the Lord Jesus Christ used, called comforter, when he says, I'll pray my Father and he'll send you another comforter. So the Amplified Version of the Bible has broken up the word comforter into the seven major aspects of that word, what that word really implies. And you see, we read some of the original Greek, some of the explanations, just the expanded definitions of those words from some of the more popular dictionaries of the Bible that we have. But I just want to underscore that. I'm not going to stop. We're going to keep reading. I want to go all the way to verse 27, and then I'm going to come back to verse 16, and then we're going to dig in there and study a little bit in there tonight. But I just want to underscore from the very beginning of our lesson tonight, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will pray my Father, and he will send you another comforter. And then we usually say, yes, that means, from what the Amplified Bible tells us, he is the comforter, he's the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, and the comforter. All of that is true. But all of that is just breaking down what it means to be a comforter from the original Greek word parakletos, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. So the Holy Spirit is all of that to us. He can be all of that to us if we let him. That's by his nature, by his personality, by his assignment, by virtue of what his purpose is in the life of a believer, in his comforter role, that's what he does. And let's explain that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I think this would be very helpful. Let's use the analogy of a mom or a wife, right? That woman, so let's use the analogy of a woman, just any woman who might wear multiple hats or might be responsible for multiple things at the same time. That woman can be a wife, for instance. At the same time, that woman can be a mother. And at the same time, that woman can be a professional or a businesswoman. Or that woman can be a minister, like a pastor, or a deaconess, or any of those prophetess, things like that. And at the same time, that woman can be a daughter, right? And at the same time, that woman can be a sister. Amen? And at the same time, that woman can be a mentor. Amen. I mean, think about this. We're talking about one woman who can be all these things. Same thing applies to a man, but I just would rather use the illustration, the analogy of a woman, because women generally tend to wear more hats, many more hats than men. And you can take any of the aspects of that woman's what she is, whether wife or mother or daughter or sister or mentor or minister or businesswoman or anything. You can take any one of those. Let's take mother. If we want to focus on the work of a woman as a mother, then, you know, we're going to be breaking that up into so many things. There's so many things that a mother is to her children, right? She is a nurturer. She's the one who provides immediate care. She's the one sometimes who sits and does some of their work from school with them. She's the one who supplies the resources they need. Amen. Now, of course, fathers do all of this too, but I'm just focusing just for the purpose of our... I could switch this around, but again, like I said, I like this illustration just because there are so many more things. And there's something I want us to see here, right, off the bat. And this is so important. I hope this is making a lot of sense to you. I trust God that it is. That mother is the one responsible many times for picking out the resources that the children need. She's the one who notices, our son needs a new pair of socks. Our daughter needs to get her hair done, and you know, on and on like that. But she's also the one who makes sure that there's supply of food. It makes sure somebody else may buy it. Maybe the husband, the dad buys it, or maybe she buys it, right? And make sure that the pantry is well supplied. She's many times, I'm talking about just the mother role of that woman, right? Many times she's also the one who sees the tiny little details in the lives of the children and goes out of her way to pay attention to those tiny little details to make sure they are walking the way they should walk. Sometimes she's the one who wants to go to the school to meet with the teachers of the children to address things that she's observing, that the parents are observing. I mean, there's so many things, and without over-flogging the illustration, what I want us to see there with that illustration is that when the Lord said he would send another comforter, and we broke that up into seven different aspects of the comforter ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're not saying that's all the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. We're just saying when it comes to that aspect of his role, of his ministry in our lives, that's who he is and that's what he does. Very, very important. Keep that in your spirit, because as we go along in the future in our studies, you're going to see many more things the Holy Spirit does that really may not be connected to any of these things that we've just talked about here. Amen. And you see that. But look at that again in the Amplified. It says, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And then it says that he may abide with you forever in the King James. Let's go back to the King James in verse 17. Then he calls him, he says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." Now, glory to God. Look at that verse 17. We're talking about the Holy Spirit Jesus said he's the Spirit of truth. Amen. He said the world can't receive him. What does that mean? If you are not born again, you can't receive the Holy Spirit, right? We talked at the beginning, 2 weeks ago, last week, about the foundation of our spiritual lives. The Holy Spirit was instrumental to all of that in orchestrating our salvation. But we cannot receive the Holy Spirit if we have not embraced salvation, if we have not received Jesus Christ as our Lord. Amen. We know that is clear enough. So let's keep on moving here. He says, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him and it does not know him. Amen. And that's implying it can't see him, it can't know. The world, an unbeliever can't see the Holy Spirit. They can see his effect, but they can't see him, perceive him. And they don't know him. They don't know him. They can't know him, right? There's a veil in their hearts that stops a non-believer from knowing the Holy Spirit. But a believer can know the Holy Spirit. Amen. A believer can perceive the Holy Spirit. A believer can walk with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He said there, he says, but then look at that, is towards the end of verse 17, he says, but you know him, for he dwells with, so you can know him, but he says you know him. That is, you should know him, we should know him. That's what the Lord is saying. We should know him. Somebody say with me tonight, I should know the Holy Spirit. Say it again, I should know the Holy Spirit. I should be familiar with the Holy Spirit. I should be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. I should have knowledge and revelation and deep acquaintance and interaction with the Holy Spirit. That's for my benefit. That's to my advantage. Amen. But notice there, towards the end of verse 17, the Lord said, for he dwells with you and he shall be in you. So he dwells with you. He's around you. He's around us. The Holy Spirit is God with us. God the Father is in heaven. God the Son is in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is God with us. He's around us. He's with us. His presence surrounds us. He walks with us. But the Lord said, He dwells with you, he's around you, but he is also in you. He will be in you. So he's God with us and he's God in us. He is the greater one inside of us. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with us and he's God in us. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Oh, wouldn't that be beautiful then? That God with us, God around us, we are more acquainted with him. We can walk with him. God in us, we know how to relate with the God in us. Amen. So it's so powerful to cultivate deep acquaintance with the Holy Spirit. He said then in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in the Amplified, it says, I will not leave you as orphans. Actually, let's go and read verse 17 in the Amplified as well. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless, I will come back to you. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you like orphans. I won't leave you helpless. You will never be without help. On your journey on this earth, I will not be physically here, is what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to the disciples. I will not be physically here around you, but you will never be without help. I will make sure that the helper is always with you. Amen. I will make sure the comforter is always with you. I will make sure that you will not be like orphans. You will not be desolate. You will never be abandoned. The Holy Spirit will see to it that you never have a feeling of being abandoned in your life. You will never have a notion, even if the thought arises, if you know Him, if you recognize Him, and if you're walking daily with Him, you would never ever believe the thought that the Holy Spirit is not with you, that God is not with you, that you are desolate, you are abandoned, you are alone in the world, you are left on your, you are left to yourself. No, you would never believe that, because He will be with you, the Holy Spirit will, and He will be in you, is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. You know what an orphan is? The Lord said, I will not, you've seen images on TV, some of us know orphans, many of you know orphans. You know orphans. And one of the most striking things that all of us know about orphans is that they don't have help. If their parents, especially if they are young, and the father is passed on, the mother is passed on, you know, most people who are around them consider it a secondary responsibility to help them. They don't have help. But children whose parents, the mother is there, we've talked about that, the role of the mother in the life of the children, the father is there, if they are, praise God. We've talked about how just having a parent sees to it that the different areas of a child's life is taken care of. Different areas are taken care of because the parent is there. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you will always have help. You will always have direct help, not secondary help, not people remembering just like after the fact. No, you will not be like orphans, He said. You will always have help. Let's keep on reading. Go back to the King James here. I will not leave you comfortless, verse 18. I will come to you. Then, verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Well, if the Lord is not here physically, but He says we will see Him, how do we see Him? We see Him through the Holy Spirit. Like when He was there physically, and the disciples said to Him, show us the Father. And you remember how the Lord Jesus Christ responded. He said to Philip, have I been with you for so long and you don't know me? Philip didn't say, show us Jesus. He said, show us the Father. But the Lord responded by saying, the Father has always been here through me. He's not saying He is God the Father. Jesus is not saying that. Actually, that encounter, that exchange was right here in this scripture. It's just, I'm not going to get sidetracked and go there. But if you look there in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This same John 14, verse 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then in verse 7, He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know Him. And you have seen Him. Philip said in verse 8, He said unto him, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. We know Him. Show us the Father, we'll be more than satisfied. And look at what Jesus said to him in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And then how can you say, show us the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How then can you say, show us the Father? Hallelujah. We're already up to 30 minutes in our studies tonight. Glory to God. So let's take a few more minutes. We've only really just started. But let's take a few more minutes. So when He says, you will see me in verse 19, He said, yet a little while and the world sees me no more. But you see me because I live, you shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How does a believer today see Jesus when Jesus is no longer here physically? We see him through the Holy Spirit. Like Philip and the other disciples saw the Father through Jesus, as Jesus was with them, we see the Father and we see the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He said, I will manifest myself unto him. We will, in another place, he says, my Father and I will manifest ourselves unto him. That actually is right here. Yeah, right here in verse 23. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, that is Jesus and God the Father, we will come unto him and we will make our abode with him. Hallelujah. And then he said in verse 24, and how do they do that? How does God the Father and God the Son, how do they manifest themselves to the believer? Through the Holy Spirit. Then he said in verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Amen. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being present, being yet present with you. And then he repeats in verse 26, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Hallelujah. Now, that's an additional ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Let's read verse 26 from the Amplified. It says there, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf. Look at that. He said, the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be in my place. So everything Jesus was in his earthly experience, the Holy Spirit will be to the believer. He said, the Father will send him in my place to represent me and to act on my behalf. The Holy Spirit will represent Jesus. He is not Jesus, but he will represent Jesus. He is different from Jesus. We're going to go back to verse 16 now in just a minute and start digging into that before our time is up tonight. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus, but he will represent Jesus. He and Jesus are one. He and the Father are one. The three of them, the triune God, is one, but they are different people. They are different personalities. They are one. They are like one another because they are in perfect, complete harmony. They are the divine of God, the divine presence, the divine personality, the divine glory of God that is one. But they are different persons. It's one of the reasons why we need to learn to deepen our knowledge, our intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We'll get to this in a minute. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Let's keep going here. He said he would come in my place to represent me and to act on my behalf. So the Holy Spirit will act on the behalf of Jesus. And we're going to read more of this later on as we go. He said he will teach you all things, and it will cause you to recall, will remind you of bring to your remembrance everything I've told you. Everything I've told you. And by extension, if as believers, as children of God, we allow the Holy Spirit to represent Jesus, to teach us, to remind us, to guide us, to lead us, by extension, we will enjoy always in our lives the peace of God. He said that in verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, giveth I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid." Let's read that from the Amplified. "Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed." Is anybody with us in our studies, in our service tonight, who is agitated about anything? Who is disturbed about anything? The Lord said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be agitated. Don't entertain that disturbance. Because when the Holy Spirit is allowed to do his work in our lives, we will have perfect peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful. Have no fear. And intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Have no fear. Don't be unsettled. Don't be cowardly. If you allow the Holy Spirit, who is around you, and as a believer, who is inside of you, to take his place in your life, to represent Jesus. You know, it's like when Jesus is in your boat, you can't be afraid. You will read stories like, remember one time, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side." They were going, storm came, and they thought they were going to be destroyed. Jesus was sleeping, and finally they remembered, they went and woke him up, and they were full of fear. I woke up, "Why are you so afraid? I'm here." So Jesus can be there, and we can entertain fear and disturbance because we don't remember he's there, or we don't let him take his place. In the same way, the Holy Spirit can be with us, he can be in us, and we can entertain disturbance, we can be agitated, we can be afraid, cowardly, intimidated, troubled, if we don't remember he's with us, or if we don't let him take his place in our lives. So Jesus said, you have the peace of God. The Holy Spirit will dish out the peace of God to you. Wherever you are tonight, say with me, "I have the peace of God because I have the Holy Spirit." Say that one more time. "I have the peace of God in my life because I have the Holy Spirit." Say one last time. "I have the peace of God in my life because I have the Holy Spirit." Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want us, in the last few minutes that we have here, we're almost at 40 minutes, so we're going to close out at 45. Let's just go back to verse 16, and I'm just going to introduce it and close us out tonight. And by the grace of God, when we come back next week, then we're going to dive in and begin to study these different aspects of what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and verse 16. If you will, please go back there to verse 16. It says, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." three major things that the Lord Jesus Christ said in that verse of scripture that I would want us to study out a little bit more elaborately when we return next week. I want to introduce this to you. The first thing he said, Jesus said, is he says he is another person. And there are two important Greek words that the Lord uses there in that piece of scripture. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, elos parakletos. Another elos parakletos paraclete. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another. So Jesus is saying, I'm your comforter, I'm with you now, but I will not be with you beyond a certain point. But when I leave, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. That is, he is another person, but he's like me, but we are not the same thing. We are not the same person. He's a totally different and unique person. He's another comforter. All right. So that's the first thing he said. And then the second thing is, he is our comforter. I want us to look at the different variations of that. In essence, you can say, because right now, Jesus is our comforter in heaven, right? The word parakletos also used to describe an advocate, an intercessor, and Jesus is our advocate in heaven. The Holy Spirit is our advocate on the earth. So I'll give you another comforter to be with you. And then the third thing he said is, he will abide with us forever. Not just for a day or two. Not just for 2 years or 3 years. Not just while we're young. Not just while we're well, healthy. Not just while things are good. He will be with us forever. Actually, forever means forever. That's, it spans even beyond our natural lifetime. He will be with us beyond this natural life. The Holy Spirit will. So, those three concepts we're going to start studying when we come back next week by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Would you go ahead and thank God tonight for the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for representing Jesus in my life. Thank you for bringing the peace of God to me. Thank you. Thank you for enabling me to be everything that I was destined to be. Thank you for being my comforter. Even what the Amplified describes as comforter, my counselor, my helper, my intercessor, my teacher, my strengthener, my standby. Thank you for being all that and more, much more. Thank you for the various ways in which you're working in my life. I give you all the glory. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We bless you for it. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.